Today's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 to 9. It can be found on page 871 in your pew Bibles. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 to 9. After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believed the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. The word of the Lord.
So before I begin, I just want to say thank you to many of you who have been supporters of Square One World Media and the ministry there for many, many years. This year is our 70th anniversary celebration. And we continue to marvel at what God is doing through the ministry. And it is because of people like you who pray for us and care for us and the finances you send that allow us to minister to people all over the world in over six languages. We're going to keep working on this. It keeps falling down. And I especially want to mention Henry Reimer this morning, who has served as a board member for many years with us and was affirmed for another three-year term as a board member at our AGM this last week. So we thank him for his service and that it will continue. So in January, many of you know that I got injured by taking a horrible fall on some ice here in the city, and my right leg lost its quad tendon, which is the largest tendon and controls the bottom part of your leg. So I've been in a brace up until last week, and the first thing I asked my surgeon on the follow-up appointment was, will I be able to garden, and will I be able to cycle? Those are the two things that, for me, are life-giving. And he said, if you listen to me and to your physiotherapist, you'll be able to do both. And then my personal trainer texted me and he said, when will we be able to start training again? And I said, get back to me in July, because that's what the surgeon says. So I haven't started training yet, but I have been working with a physiotherapist, and so I'm not familiar with weights anymore, but I am familiar with lots of stretches and lots of step-ups and things like that, and so this morning I stand before you without my brace, and that is because God heals. Even though I've been faithful, he does the work of healing. So we're going to talk this morning of, have you trained to be a gardener? This morning, I'm privileged to speak on the topic of sharing our faith with a focus on only four verses, 5 to 9, which are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This chapter comes after one where Paul explains how he shares his faith, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And he says he doesn't share it with eloquent words, and often with fear and trembling, but he relies on the Spirit of God to share about Jesus Christ and what his death and resurrection have meant to Paul personally. So if you are a gardener, as I am, or a farmer like the Regeer family, I always try to fit in the Regeers in my sermons. The analogy Paul uses in these verses will be familiar. For Paul compares how sowing seed and watering it so it will grow is like sharing our faith with others and waiting for God to bring about the harvest. So I'd like to read the four verses again from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. So maybe this morning the burning question you have is, are we meant to be gardeners? Well, Paul begins this portion of scripture in verse 5 by reminding the Corinthian believers that neither following Paul or Apollos is of any consequence, but rather that they recognize that both Paul and Apollos are servants of Christ. Paul is a little frustrated with some of the immaturity he sees in these new believers, and he wants to remind them of what is really important. One, that they heard the good news of Jesus Christ through either Paul or Apollos. Two, that they received the good news of Jesus Christ and became Christ followers. Three, that Paul and Apollos were servants of the Lord. And four, that Paul and Apollos were just doing what they had been instructed to do, share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. So who are we? Are we people who believe the good news of Jesus Christ? Are we people who want to be servants of the Lord? Are we people who want to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others so that they can also become Christ followers? I think if our answer to each of these questions is yes, then we are meant to be gardeners. And verses 6 to 9 outline the process of how to be servants of Jesus Christ who want to share the good news of Jesus with others. What is the process of gardening that we find in verses 6 to 9? Pretty simple. One, plant seeds of faith. Two, water seeds of faith. Three, don't focus on who seeds and who waters. Four, watch and wait as God causes the seeds to grow in others' hearts and lives and brings in the harvest. What training is needed to be a gardener? One, praying that our selfishness and fear would not keep us from sowing and watering. Two, spending time in Scripture, studying it, memorizing it, meditating on it, learning from it. Three, praying that God would put people in our lives where we can practice our gardening skills, whether it's our neighbors, family, friends, gas station attendants, work colleagues, teachers, profs, coaches, fellow team members, the person who serves you at Tim Hortons, air flight attendants so that they don't get angry at you when you're on the plane, and golf buddies, especially when that shot is really poor and you like to throw the club. What may be some obstacles to being a gardener? Well, if you're like me, you might be lazy and not want to train for it. My trainer can tell you that sometimes I'm not the best client of his. I don't do what he tells me to do, which is why I look the way I look sometimes. Other times, we may be selfish and not want our plans interrupted, schedules thrown off, or that we are in control of who to spend time with and who not to spend time with. There is a particular name that shows up on my cell phone. When it shows up, I don't want to answer because I know it'll mean a visit, a long visit, a painful visit, because the person that I'm going to meet with is in a lot of pain. But I answer because I know that God has placed her in my life for a purpose, and that's to show her love and care and pray with her. We may not want to experience any pain or hardships, or perhaps we may not really care that much about others and whether they know Jesus Christ or not, because we have forgotten the gift of grace and mercy that is ours. And so we're satisfied with the fact that we and those nearest to us know Jesus, and that's pretty good. What do we miss by not being gardeners? Well, I think we miss a surprising collection of relationships that enriches our lives in ways we can't imagine. We miss the delight of sharing our faith in a myriad of ways when we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbors as ourselves. We miss adventures that bring excitement, challenges, and joys we never thought possible. And we also miss the ability to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ in ways we could not imagine, and to have the privilege of seeing the Holy Spirit at work, not only in our life, but in the lives of others. So now I'm going to tell you some stories. Denver said, tell stories. So I'm going to tell you some stories of gardeners I know and admire. The first gardener I know and admire is Irene Marsh. She retired being a nurse and suddenly became a widow. Her question to God was, what do I do now? So she prayed, what do I do now? I'm retired from nursing. I'm a widow. What do I do now? And God gave her a vision of reaching low German-speaking women with the message of Jesus Christ, but also with how to be healthy and care for themselves and their family in a physical health care sense. So she came to Square One World Media, met with the director, and said, I have a dream of doing a radio show that mixes spiritual health teaching with physical health teaching And voila, Health Talks with Nurse Irene was born. Seeds are sown and watered all over the world through the radio program, CDs made available, and live events where Irene shares her faith story. God has caused this garden to grow, and women are coming to know Jesus Christ personally, which then affects their families and their communities. Winkler MB Church started a ministry to Low German-speaking women in their city and the area about the same time that the radio program started. And these women were listening, and so they invited Irene to come and share with the women her faith story and a little more about her health talks. And over 400 women showed up. And the Bible study continues to grow and go on. And many of those women come at the risk of threats and abuse in their homes, because they don't want the women to know much about the Lord Jesus, nor about how to care for themselves. So Irene risks comfort, time away from family and friends, even threats to her, all so that she can meet some of her audience in Winkler, in Bolivia, and in other places, and encourage them in their faith journey. On Thursday, when I talked to Irene about her life and ministry, she said, "Remember to tell the congregation that some seeds need a lot of watering before there is any sign of growth. But never give up, as you do not know what God is doing that you cannot see. Keep watering and watering and watering." So, the next gardener that I'm going to tell you about is my dad, Mr. Coop. And he's at the back. When my parents moved into their condo 6 years ago, they prayed that God would use them to reach out to their neighbors and that they would show them the love of Christ. Dad connected with a younger man. Ha ha, how funny is that? Because he's 103, so pretty much everybody's younger. But this guy is in his 50s. And his vocabulary was very colorful. And so Dad teased him that if the air smelled like his vocabulary, it would be hard to spend time with him as the air would stink. And this became the start to a very unlikely friendship. They often meet for a few minutes or for longer visits in Dad's condo. They talk about fishing, politics, share jokes, and kind words of friendship are shared with one another. One day, the man came to visit Dad and revealed a health issue that was very frightening. So Dad offered to pray for him. "I don't want any of that church stuff," was his angry reply. Dad told him prayer wasn't about church stuff, but rather an expression of care that came from Dad knowing Jesus and showing care to others by praying for them. The man then accepted the prayers. The health issue led to a cancer diagnosis, intense surgery, and many treatments to follow. All the while, this man sought out Dad's friendship and grew warmer to the fact that Dad and others were praying for him. The man has allowed Dad to hold his hand clutched in Dad's two hands and hear how not only Dad, but other family members were taking his name to Jesus in prayer. The man has allowed a Christmas visit and continued contact with Dad, always being reminded that prayers are being spoken on his behalf. Last Sunday at a party in the condo, the man came over to us and expressed gratitude for our prayers. And he blamed us that they were answered, and so he was still around to cause trouble for us. When we remarked how delighted we were that our prayers were answered, he chokingly replied how delighted he was as well, and that we could continue to pray for him. The watering is going to go on for quite some time, and hopefully someday he will want to know Jesus Christ as well. The third gardener I want to tell you about is Monica Solomon. Monica and her husband, together with their daughter, call Winnipeg home after immigrating from Egypt. Monica became a student in need of a work experience opportunity in a travel agency and ended up being my intern for several months when I worked at Bonaventure Travel. In our conversation, she one day asked what I did with the rest of my week when I wasn't working at Bonaventure. So I told her about the ministry of Square One and then proceeded to show her our website. When she saw we worked in Arabic, she squealed with delight and asked if there would ever be a place for her to volunteer at Square One. Several months and many prayers later, Monica, together with our leadership team at Square One, decided to do a TV series for Arabic-speaking women who have left their homelands as immigrants or refugees and are now trying to adjust to their new homeland. The TV show is called The New Eve and is produced in Cairo, Egypt, under the direction and hosting of Monica. This series talks about the many struggles the adjustment is when you're a refugee or immigrant, and it also talks about the testimonies about women who have found the strength to meet these challenges through their relationship with Jesus Christ and a faith community. Several episodes were especially designed for Syrian refugee women, and this was all done before the federal government of Canada decided to welcome Syrian refugees to our country by the thousands. Can you imagine how strategic this timing is? Yet it was all known to God. We did not arrange it. He arranged the timetable for the production of the episodes and that their release online would completely coincide with Syrian refugees coming to Canada. The accessibility of the episodes and that they are English subtitled allows a group of Christian women in Edmonton to meet with their Syrian neighbors and watch episodes together with them, or for a church in Vancouver that reaches out to Arabic women to use them in their small groups or at their English as another language classes. Monica has suffered greatly this last year. First, she lost her father to cancer in October, and then while she was still in Egypt helping her mother clean up her father's estate, she has suffered the loss of her mother in the Coptic church bombing on December 11th in Cairo. In spite of these great losses and the growing hatred for Christians in Egypt, Monica wants to continue producing the New Eve Arabic TV series, and she, together with our director, will return to Egypt in July and complete the next season of 23 episodes. Only God could arrange Monica and I meeting at Bonaventure Travel, place a burden in her heart for Arabic-speaking women displaced from their homelands, connect with Square One World Media and Sat7 in Cairo, Egypt to produce the series, and then, in spite of great danger to Christians, have Monica see the need to continue producing programs to encourage Arabic-speaking women to embrace Jesus Christ. Seeds have been sown, seeds are being watered, and only God knows what the harvest will be like. What an adventure. The fourth gardeners I want to tell you about are a couple in my community. A 16-year-old girl with incredible songwriting talent showed up at our neighborhood coffee house two and a half years ago. Her voice and lyrics were well beyond her 16 years of life. She became good friends with a couple, empty nesters in their late 50s, and it quickly became apparent that she was looking to them to be her parents and parent her because she had never received parenting. So here we are, 2.5 years later, and she is a permanent resident in their home, a member of their family, and a young woman about to graduate from high school with the demons of her past still haunting her, including the accidental death of her father just over a year ago at the hands of a drunk driver. Time, energy, tears, lack of sleep, financial resources, and many other resources from my neighborhood couple have been poured into this young woman's life. Why? Because my neighbors love Jesus, and they feel that she came to them to be invested in, have seeds of faith sown, and those seeds needed to be watered. The young woman who knows who Jesus is often stumbles in her faith, as we often do, attends church faithfully, and offers her gift of music to a worship team. To watch my neighbor's sacrifice to care for this young woman reminds me that I do not fear being one who sows or waters. Rather, I am selfish and recognize that this act of gardening can be difficult, require great selflessness, love that is unrequited, and no assurance that Jesus Christ will be embraced. However, to see the life that has come to both my neighbors and this young woman reminds me that this act of gardening is one I want to be involved in. And now I'm going to share about some MacIver gardeners, and I promised I would not use their names. So here are a few short stories of gardeners right in our midst that I know of. There are several couples in our congregation that have made their front yards the intentional place to gather so that they can interact, engage, and welcome neighbors to come and stay a while. There is an apartment dweller who decided to open their apartment one day, brought invitations to each apartment on their floor to come to an open house, enjoy refreshments, and getting to know each other as neighbors. There is someone who does what they call deck evangelism, where they regularly invite neighbors to their deck for refreshments, meals, or times to pray over and with them when challenges come, like recently the death of a parent or the end of a marriage, or extreme anxiety. To watch my mate, So these are the gardeners that I know from MacIver, and I know there's many more stories out there. In conclusion, this portion of scripture is about Paul reminding not only the Corinthian believers, but us as well to be gardeners as we follow Jesus Christ and serve him. We are to plant seeds of love, care, attention in the lives of those God has placed in our path. And we are to water these seeds with prayer, kindness, acts of compassion, sharing our faith story, and then waiting to see how God brings about the harvest. My great-grandfather on my mom's side sowed and watered for 33 years by praying for a friend to come to know Jesus Christ personally. He could hardly believe that after that length of time of praying, that his witness and prayers actually culminated in his friend embracing Jesus. When I think of this example that my mom told me about my great-grandfather, I see how this a passage applies to us. I see how this story applies to the passage and also to us. For God longs for us to faithfully sow and water the lives of others under his Spirit's guidance and leave the harvest to him. There is an old nursery rhyme about Mary, Mary quite contrary, and her garden. And here is the revised version that I have written for us this morning. MacIver, MacIver, how does your garden grow? With selfless deeds and listening ears? And Jesus Christ always on show? Thanks for letting me share this morning.